Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we see in the Apostle Epistle to St. Peter an admonishment, really a commandment, to make the way that we act and the values that we believe, that Christ Jesus is risen from the dead, and because of that, we are holy, for these two things to align. He talks about how we should have our conversations honest among the Gentiles, that there should not be that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they speak against you, they may by your good works, which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So St. Peter is talking about here how for our actions to align with our beliefs, it goes in line with what St. Paul talks about in his pastoral epistles to St. Titus and St. Timothy, when he talks about the overseer or the stewards of God being above reproach. So in 1 Timothy 3:2, he says, therefore an overseer must be above reproach. In Titus 1, verse 7, he says, for an overseer as God's steward must be above reproach. And so we see here that our actions have to match our words. And not only that, but we should be in a place where the evil sayers, the evildoers, have nothing against us. That we should live above reproach. And so what is living above reproach means? Well, it's not describing a sinless perfection, but a credible, consistent life that we live, a pattern of life that's molded and shaped by the Holy Spirit in all facets of our lives, no matter what circle we run in. We're the same. So the Christian, especially one set apart to serve, but those of all of us, this applies to all of us as baptized believers, the Christian should be marked by an integrity of speech, should be marked by purity of conduct, and should be marked by self-control, hospitality, and a peaceable spirit, one that's not divisive in the ways that what we say online, what we say in person, but a peaceable spirit that has no double-mindedness, no hidden meanings or hidden compromises. So the word above reproach that St. Peter is talking about here, and St. Paul makes explicit in his epistles, is more than just we've all heard of the reductionist definition of integrity, right? Where integrity is doing the same thing, whether someone is doing the right thing, whether you're being viewed or not, whether you have an audience, right? To do the right thing. That is the simplest, barest form of integrity. Integrity is where our values, the virtues that God has given us through our baptism and confirmation and the sacraments, He's molded us and shaped us into His image. It's through these things it's those virtues that match the way that we act. So it's not just about doing the right thing, whether no one is looking or not. It's about an alignment, really, of the way that we live our lives, a life of holiness or a lie. And brothers and sisters, We are a church that is made of broken people. And it's hard for us to live a life that is above reproach. But the church is to reflect the character of its shepherd, the Christ, the Anointed One, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. So the epistle lesson here presses us toward a life where faith, conduct, and reputation are aligned, and where neighbors are neighborly, where there's something recognizable. When our neighbors look at us, there's something recognizable about the way that we live. And we have to ask ourselves right now, is our life recognizable as Christian? Because if it's not, we have a lot of work to do. And we need to flee into the bosom of Christ. We need to run into his arms and ask him to mold and shape us into his image. To use a metaphor, an example. Now, think of a person who is working in a glass storefront, where the back, there's nothing to hide in the back. There's no walls in the back office space versus the front. Think of a jewelry store maybe or a Waffle House, right, where the cooks are doing their thing right in front of you. And there's no space at all for privacy. Everything they do is visible. They can't hide their habits in the back room. They can't pick their nose without the customer seeing. All of these things are visible to the customer, to the people who they are interacting with. So they have to act the same, whether they're in the front of the store or the back. And it goes the same with the employees that are in the store, right? The people, when the boss is there, there's one employee who acts the same regardless of whether the boss is there or not, right? That's a man who has integrity. That's a man or a woman who's living above reproach, whose values align with who they actually are. And for us, that who we actually are the children of the King, right? We are called to holiness. But there are people, and we've all worked with them, when the boss is not around, they don't do anything. They don't act the same as when the boss is there. They're frustrating as coworkers, obviously, but they have no integrity. But beside the point, they have no integrity. They are not living above reproach. They are shams, right? And this goes to the Christian life as well. We are to not put ourselves in a place where when we are faced with sin, we can get out of it through the help of the Holy Spirit, but we are not even putting ourselves in the place where we are exposed to a near occasion of sin. If you have a drinking problem, you're not going to walk to work across the street from a liquor store, or you're not going to go into a liquor store to get some a bottle of Pepsi, right? That's not a good idea. And there's other examples, obviously, but we are to live above reproach. It's like, Jim Bob over here, I saw him at the liquor store the other day, and you know how he is. He's got a drinking problem. That's not living above reproach. Being above reproach means not putting ourselves in a place where the evildoers, as they say, as Peter says, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, let's not put ourselves in a place where the evildoers can even speak against us. Let us do good works, which they shall behold, glorifying God in the day of the visitation. So we are to submit ourselves to God and his holiness. We are to ask God and the Holy Spirit to mold and shape us into his image. Brothers and sisters, the way that we act and who we are cannot be different. We are the children of the King. God calls us to live a holy life. So let us honor all men, as Peter says. Let us love the brotherhood. Let us fear God. And let us honor those who Christ have put in authority over us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.